Are we ready to get started here? Or we need a few minutes. I see that. A little study going on. Got a little studying back there? Yeah. All the mysteries of the planet. Oh, figuring out the yardage. Can we turn over to, let's see, 540, 540. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Who's got birthdays and anniversaries this month? Brother Pat, who else? We have anyone else? Billy's got a birthday coming up at the end of the month. 25 years for you, Brother Pat. 25 years of marriage. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's actually
50. It's actually 50. 25 apiece. The sentence was 25 apiece. Can we? How about if we sing happy birthday to Sister Billy?
All right.
We should have sang happy birthday this morning. We had a few more folks here. How old? Oklahoma. Anoki. You're Anoki. That's amazing. Yeah. We're going to sing happy birthday now to you. We're singing happy birthday to you, Billy. Happy birthday to you. We're singing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. We're going to sing happy anniversary now to Brother Pat. Yeah. And since
and then
since Mary's not here, we'll just sing it to Brother Pat. 25 years. All right. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. And many more. Amen. Oh, just about half of it at least. Yeah. I do want to ask for prayer. Before we came in today, we found out that one of our friends, a lady that works with Senta, she lost her oldest son today. And he was hit on his bike. And so their names are Mike and Sherry. Mike and Sherry. Keep them in your prayers, please. Appreciate it. Yeah. He was 33. Working on his PhD. Where at? In Santa Barbara. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's turn over to 524. 524. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin know the joy of this glorious star. My sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, face the day when my face shall be sad. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. 552. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take that cross and follow, follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, all the way. I'll go with Him through judgment. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him all the way. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory and go with me all the way. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, all the way. One more and we'll have our offering. 491. 491. So are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us and no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Are you going to sing a special now?
Checking up, yes.
All right.
We're going to do this morning, but
you're going to do it now.
We need practice.
Yeah.
Oh, she has one. We have plenty of hymnals. Are we ready?
Didn't want me to help you, did you?
Sure.
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 You want to?
Come here.
Come on, Pastor.
You know the song.
Sure.
What?
Come here, you know it.
You can see. Come on. We have our new trio. Can you see all right?
I can't see that.
We'll get close.
I can't see that. The light's not shining on.
That better?
I am weak, but Thou art strong. me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, Mary, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me safely of the oar to the shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Humble plea.
Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Once more in the chorus.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be.
Wasn't that good?
Oh, that was fine. Now we need a bass singer up here. Some of you guys that think you can sing bass, let us know. We'll have a quartet then. It's the quartets that make the money. All right. I had several comments on our message that I preached this morning, and I won't let you. I appreciate the comments that you made, but I enjoyed that message too. I enjoyed preparing it, and I enjoyed delivering it and sharing it with you. And tonight we've got another one here. I kind of hate to preach two good sermons in a row. I don't want to spoil you. because then if I come along and mess one up, you know, you'll think that I'm slipping. And we don't want to do that. But let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Read the first three verses of this. I've got to tell you this because, you see, I got into the ministry in 1950, June of 1950. And it was in May of 1948 that Israel became a nation again. Now, that was just about the time when my wife was saved and baptized, and that was the time when I rededicated my life to the Lord, and we really threw ourselves into the service of God working in our church. And we had a real good premillennial fundamental preacher who knew his Bible. And he would preach about the second coming of Christ and how that Israel becoming a nation again was one of the right steps in the right direction. And so that just caught my soul on fire, and I became an ardent student of the second coming of Christ. In fact, whenever I wrote my thesis for my doctorate, it was on the second coming of Christ. Now, we're hearing so much today about Israel and about the war that they're engaged in over there, and they're surrounded by all of these Muslim people who want to destroy them and get rid of them. So they're in the news. On my newspaper, it's on the front page, I think, every day, something in there about Israel. But I want us to go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning here. In Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Now that's Abraham, as we know him. This was before his name was changed from Abram to Abraham. He said to him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. You remember back in Genesis chapter 1 when Adam and Eve were created and put there in the Garden of Eden. You'll remember that they had three sons. First, they had Cain, then they had Abel, and Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel, but then the third son was born, and nobody killed him, so he lived and became the righteous line, the lineage through which Christ would come. Now, we think of their three sons, but they had more than that. If you read about that, their family began to grow, and the surface of the earth began to be to become densely populated. I mean to tell you, people lived for nearly 1,000 years back in those days, and they had babies probably all of their lives. And before they died, they gave birth to many, many children for a long time. Now, at this time, think of this. On the face of the earth today, it's broken up into continents, and we have the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean, etc., etc. Back in that day, all of the dry ground, all of the earth, was in one place. And there wasn't but one ocean. All of the waters on the face of the earth were in one place. That is Genesis 1:9. This was back before the continents were formed. Perhaps that took place back in the days of Peleg. Genesis 10:25 says, in his days was the earth divided. And we kind of look at that dividing of the earth, a lot of us, I'm one of those that believe it was at that time that the continents shifted and split, and we have the earth's land surface like it is now. Now, that might not have been the case, because it could have been the time when the population of the earth were scattered abroad. We read that in Genesis 10:32, and also in Genesis 11, verse 8. But this was about, says, in the days of Peleg. Now, Peleg was about 5 years old. He was born in 2213 B.C., and he was 5 years old when that event at Babylon happened. And we want to talk about that, because at that time, now this is way back before the flood, at that time, all of the people on the earth spoke one language. Genesis 11 verse 1 says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. So they all understood each other. Now, after the flood, the Bible says they found a plain. That's not an airplane, it went down. Okay? They didn't have airplanes in those days. This was a plain, not N-E. So I don't want you to get the wrong idea. They didn't find Amelia Earhart or anybody like that. This was a flat surface. They found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they dwelt in the plain of Shinar. Do you know where that is? That is called Babylon, over there in Iraq. That's where they were. And you'll remember, reading this portion of Genesis, how that they began to build a tower. Let us build us a tower whose top will reach to heaven. Now, the point I want to make is that they were all one nationality of people. They were all descendants of Noah. Not only Adam, but remember, God started over with Noah, because on the ark there was Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives. Those eight were the only ones spared during the flood. And they had the job of repopulating the earth. Now, the earth was not divided into nations until after the flood. We're going to show you that. And they didn't begin to speak different languages until after the flood. In fact, it was the year If you like to mark in the margin of your Bible, you can put these dates down. 2208 B.C., a definite time and a definite place, and it was at Babylon, when God confused the languages of the people as they were building that tower, and they had to leave off building it, because the guy up here says to the one down below him, hand me that brick, and he didn't know what he was saying. So they had to quit building. God said, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So that's what he did. Now when this happened, Genesis 11 verse 8 says, the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. They couldn't understand one another's speech, so they were scattered. By the way, today we have 242 nations on the face of the earth. That's separate individual nations, 242. And in those 242 nations, we have over 7,252,000,000 people. Now that's a lot. That's a lot of people. Now, we're talking about a time, the destruction of Babylon. After the flood of Noah's day, the flood, by the way, was in 2319 B.C., and mankind had been on the earth for 1,656 years at that time. Genesis 10:32. These are the families of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, after their generations in their nations. This is the first time that you read in here about nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Now that was in 2208 B.C. when the earth was divided into nations. And those nations were divided among the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we're told Genesis 10 verse 5, by these, that is the sons of Japheth he's going to tell us about now, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. This is the first mention in the Bible of Gentiles. Now we know that everybody in the world is either a Jew or a Gentile. And Japheth is the producer of all of the Gentiles. He had the isle, the isles of the Gentiles were divided. And then in Genesis 10:20, we have the descendants, the sons of Ham, and their inheritance. What part of the earth that they got? The earth was divided into sort of three parts, because you've got Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their descendants. So this will give you Ham and his inheritance. And then in Genesis 10:31, the sons of Shem and their inheritance, as the earth was divided into nations. Now, they didn't have 242 nations back then, I don't think. In Genesis 11, verses 10 through 32, a goodly portion, several verses here, trace the lineage of Shem. He was born in 2417 BC, traces it all the way down to Abraham, who was born 450 years later after Shem in 1967 BC. Noah had died. He was 950 years old when he died, and he died 2 years before Abraham was born. So Abraham didn't have any direct dealings with Noah, but he did with Shem. Abraham and Shem lived together for 150 years. 150 years. Now, if they spent much time together, Abraham could have learned an awful lot from Shem, because Shem had lived on the earth before the flood came for 100 years. And he knew the condition of the world when the flood came, when God drowned all of the people and started over with Noah and his family. So here they are, Abraham and Shem, sitting in a rocking chair on the front porch of their home. And Abraham says, "Shem, tell me more. Tell me about how it was back before the flood. Tell me about that year that you spent on the ark. Tell me about that." And I'm sure that Shem brought him up to date. Then one day, this was in 1892 BC, God decided to start a new and different nation. And he chose Abraham. Abraham was a Syrian. Deuteronomy 26, verse 5. And God said to him, the words of our text, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation." Now, that's the nation that we're interested in tonight. The descendants of Abraham were called Hebrews. That name was first used of Abraham himself in Genesis 14, verse 13. Hebrew. Then after that, they were called Israelites. That name Israel was given to Jacob as his proper name, Genesis 32, verse 28. That was in 1710 B.C. The name Israel. God said to him, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men." Israel. We read about it in our newspaper today. We hear about it on the newscast, don't we? Israel. The name Israel appears in the Bible 2,566 times. That's a lot for just one name. So Abraham's descendants became Israelites. When they were given the land, they named the land Israel. And it still has that name today. All right, they're also called Jews. They were Hebrews, Israelites, and now they're called Jews. When were they called Jews first? 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 6. And that was a time when a king by the name of Rezin, R-E-Z-I-N, he was the king of Syria, and he drove the Jews, this is the first time the Jews appears in the scripture, he drove the Jews out of Elath and recovered it for Syria about 725 B.C. Now this was in the days when Ahaz was king of Judah, Pekah was king of Israel, and Tiglath-Pileser was the king of the Assyrian Empire. So you can pretty well, with all of those points, zero in on when the Jews were first called Jews. Now, also, I think that name Jew comes from the fact that the people of Judea, Judea, see? They were called Jews to distinguish them from the Israelites, because at the death of Solomon, you'll recall in 945 BC that the kingdom of Israel split with 10 tribes going this way. They retained the name Israel. The other two tribes of Judah and Benjamin chose the name Judah or Judea. And probably the people of Judah or Judea were called Jews, while the rest of the 10 tribes clung to the name Israel until they were overcome by the Assyrians later on. So that name was extended and later applied to everyone of the Hebrew race throughout the world. And that's interesting, because did you know today a Jewish young man can marry a Gentile woman and they can have a child? Their child is not a Jew. A young Jewish girl can marry a Gentile guy and have a baby, and that baby is a Jew. The Judaism comes from the mother, not from the father. Isn't that something? Here's a family that's got a boy and a girl, and they both marry Gentiles. And the girl's children are Jewish children. They go through the whole thing, bar mitzvah and all. But the guy out here who's truly a Jew, he and his wife have a child, and that child is not a Jew. But that's just the way it is. Anyway, we might say Abraham's descendants are Israelites by nationality, Jews by religion, and they speak the Hebrew language. So there's still traces of all of it among them. Now they were chosen by the Lord to be a different people from the rest of the world's population. The rest of the world's classified as Gentiles, Jew and Gentiles. Everyone is either a Jew or he's a Gentile in God's economy. Just as we were talking this morning, everyone is either saved or lost. They're either a believer or a non-believer. And all of the people in the world are either Jews or Gentiles. Look at what Moses told the Israelites. God's choosing his peculiar nation now in Abraham. Moses tells the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord, a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people." And there's three names already given. They are holy, they are chosen, they are a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out. He's talking to this generation that had come out of Egypt there in the wilderness. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And then God told them again in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. He said, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. That's what God says of Israel. He told them in Deuteronomy 14, verses 1 and 2, ye are the children of the Lord your God, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord your God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations which are upon the earth. This is Israel we're talking about. Deuteronomy 26, verses 18 and 19. The Lord hath avouched unto thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. You notice that word peculiar people that he uses that word here. That word peculiar does not mean odd or weird or unusual are strange, as we would use it today perhaps, but it means special, elect, chosen, selected of God. And by the way, it does not carry the connotation of being superior to the others. Not superior. God gave them the job of being his witnesses in the midst of heathenism and idolatry, and he made them the custodians of his word. And he chose them to be the means through which he would send the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior of the world, into this earth. One day Jesus was in Samaria at the well of Jacob, and a woman came out there to draw water. And during the course of their conversation, he told her this. It's recorded in John 4:22. Salvation is of the Jews. Now that's what Jesus said. Salvation is of the Jews. And here we might do well to use Paul's definition of a Jew over in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. He is not a Jew, Paul writes, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Then he continues in Romans chapter 3. You'll have to read this with the question, what advantage then hath the Jew? He answers his own question and says, much every way, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now the lot of the Jews through the centuries has been a sad one. Whether in their homeland or whether they are far from home, they're brutal and relentless. Anti-Semitic enemies have used satanic power, and they're still using it today in their attempts to destroy and to eliminate all the Jews from the face of the earth. All of your Muslims will admit that that is their goal, their aim, their purpose. That's why they're here, to kill Jews. They believe God put them here to do that. Look at what Adolf Hitler did to them at the Holocaust back during World War II, when 6 million of them were slaughtered. And yet, they have survived, have they not? No other people can boast such a history of miracles as Israel can. Now, at the present time, the Jews are fighting for survival in the Middle East. The entire population, Jews and Gentiles, not just Jews only, of that nation of Israel today is 8,180,000. 8,180,000. That is of May the 1st this year. And they're not all Jews. There are presently 1,570,000,000 Muslims in the world who worship Mohammed. They believe the Quran, they follow Sharia law, and they're trying to kill all of the Jews and us, and to purge the world of everyone who is not a follower of the Islamic faith. That's their aim, their goal, their purpose, to destroy everyone who isn't a Muslim. Now the Bible teaches us that when Jesus returns to this earth, and he will shortly, all of his saints, which are now with him in heaven, will return with him to the earth. Jude 14. At that time, when he returns with his saints to the earth, he will establish his throne, the throne of his kingdom, in the city of Jerusalem, from which he will rule all the nations of the earth, all of them, on every continent. He'll do that for 1,000 years. You'll find it in Jeremiah 3, verse 17. He will rule the world in righteousness, Acts 17, 31. He'll rule the world with a rod of iron, Revelation 2, 27. He will rule the world as King of kings and Lord of lords, Revelation 19, verse 16. When Jesus comes again to rule the whole world, the kingdom of Israel will be reestablished and restored for the first time to the full extent of the territory that was given them under the Abrahamic covenant back in the book of Genesis that we read. God had told Abraham, Genesis 15, verse 18. He said, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. From the river of Egypt, that's to the south, look at a map. Unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Look at your map. The nation of Israel has never, not even in the days of Solomon, claimed all of the land that was given to them under that Abrahamic covenant. They never have. And they will not until Jesus comes. Now, ruling over this kingdom of Israel will be a resurrected, glorified man after God's own heart, King David. Scripture, Ezekiel 37, verses 22 through 25. I'll read it. God said, I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. One king. They haven't had a king since they returned from Babylonian captivity. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, forevermore. Put a limit on that. The nation of Israel will be divided into 12 portions or states. And each one of these will bear the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's set forth in Ezekiel chapter 48. Read it, it's quite interesting. And each one of those 12 states will be governed by Jesus' 12 apostles sitting on his throne. Matthew 19, verse 28, the words of Jesus to his disciples, his apostles. Verily I say unto you, that ye have followed me, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You see the division of it? We have the United States of America with all of our states. Our states are divided into counties. And we have one ruler over all 50 of them. We have one ruler over each individual state called the governor. And then we have our individual counties, and each one of them have their own government, their own local government. And that's the way it's going to be then. And you and I, yes, us, will be ruling and reigning with him as kings and priests. Briefly, let me give you five scriptures and we'll close. Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Revelation 5:10, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Revelation 20:4, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Revelation 20:6, they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 22:5, this is the kicker. They shall reign forever and ever. That's a long time. Longer than 1,000 years. Longer than 2,000 years. Forever and ever. Well, that's what God's been doing all these years, ever since he created man and put him loose on this earth. And that's his plan. Aren't you glad that God gives us this knowledge? We know what's going to come to pass. We know how it's going to end. We don't have to worry, because God has it all under control. Let's stand together and we'll have prayer and then fellowship. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Roger, will you lead us, please, in our benediction? Amen.